Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I think there are people out there who would love to smell Josh Allen's
cleats. Howard Simon.
I'll smell Josh Allen's cleats any day of the week.
Jeremy White.
You do want to make sure that they don't smell. So I think you have to smell them.
Let me see. It's not the greatest odor in the world. It smells like a
shoe.
You know, a shoe.
On WGR.
Couldn't you just bring them home and leave them out on the back deck overnight to air them out?
Okay. How would you know if they were aired out?
I'd probably force my little brother to do it.
Somebody would have to smell them.
I'd take his head and jam it into the cleats and go, here, smell that!
Sports Radio 550.
All right, I got to apologize to Jeremy to start the show. I missed Cyber Monday, and I had the greatest gift I was going to get you.
Okay.
The big hat.
Oh, yeah. They're expensive.
How much? I didn't look.
It's like $75 for the base model.
You're worth it.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
The big hats that Brian Robinson was wearing in the Washington locker room, and maybe you've seen them, they look like comical hats. It's like you stepped into a video game and the hat is an icon on the top of your head. How long until one of us sees one of those in the wild? Like, just out. You're out on the town. You're downtown. You're uptown. You're going to see someone wearing one of the big hats.
Do they make them for, like, so you could you order, like, a Bill's big hat? I didn't even look into it.
I went to the website. You can customize it. I think the only way you can actually make it with a Bill's logo might be to upload the Bill's logo and make it blue. I don't know that they're exactly licensed.
I was thinking a Bills home game before Christmas. Someone would like order one ASAP. But if you did wear a big hat at a game, would they make you take it off? Because you'd be blocking the view of people.
Maybe.
It's a big hat.
It is a big hat.
Like at a Sabre game or a Bills game. So I was thinking that's definitely somebody who's a Bills fan would definitely get a Bills big hat if they could.
Yeah.
You'd see it.
A lot of potential big hats. Scott Van Pelt wore one on SportsCenter last night.
Maybe you'd see it tailgating. Maybe you don't necessarily see it in the game, but I would absolutely picture Bills fans wearing that hat.
You can put any logo on it, too. Put your business logo on it. Put
Mets logo.
Anything. Yeah. The big hats. The Noggin Boss. That's the name of the company.
I did a Google search. Brian Robinson, big hat. And I couldn't exactly find it, and I kind of moved on to other
stuff. I watched
their
segment on Shark Tank. Where they ran in there with giant hats.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it looked cool. I like the Bill in the front, though. He had it turned around.
It's definitely their moment. I mean, to go, you know, viral on Twitter and then to be featured on SportsCenter wearing a hat.
I didn't even mention Van Pelt, but it was all over Twitter.
I mean, I also think that this could have been a coordinated effort on their part, by the way. Is Brian Robinson really friends with the owner of that company? Or did they just, hey, Brian Robinson... We're going to give you a Commander's hat.
And or
this is going to be our pathway to a bunch of free pub.
Maybe he's friends with someone that's an investor. You know, like he's got a teammate that is thrown here's $30,000 or whatever. Because
where's a hat?
If they went on Shark Tank, they're looking for money. They're looking for investors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Brian Robinson might know an investor.
Idea. Help us out, buddy. Wear the hat. Maybe he gets like a portion of sales for wearing the hat. He's going to drive business for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you pay attention enough, you'll find out that pro athletes are investors in everything from Premier League teams to
Tom Brady and cryptocurrency and companies that go bankrupt.
Josh Allen in Encore Golf. Like, you know, like you see plenty of these relationships.
Yeah.
So maybe he just knows an investor.
I'll look into it. Maybe I'll get a big Syracuse.
Syracuse, bad time.
No, huh? Okay.
Bad time.
Thought.
Big hat that says Howard picks the Bills on it.
No.
Now just we're into something.
Name another star after me instead of getting me a Howard picks the Bills hat.
Ooh, actually, so
could be like the Ohio State helmet where like you put a sticker on it with every time you pick the Bills, you put the record out there.
Did we name a star after you for your birthday or for Christmas?
It was Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know the next thing we could do?
Name a winter storm after me?
No, you can. Let me find this right now. You can, for the holidays, you can name a piece of land after someone. And, yeah, okay. You can become a lord. A lord of a piece of land.
I saw this on Twitter recently. Somebody tweeted that out. They were holding up, like, the certificate.
Yeah, in 24 hours, you can be Lord Simon, Lord Howard of, and then we name this little 1 square foot that we buy.
I'm into this. I'm into this. Joe, I need my accompanying music bed. Find some music bed. Not, you know, Darth Vader, but I need some music to accompany the title.
1 square foot of dedicated land on a private estate. Lord Simon of Pictabilsia. And we could just have that done. You would officially be a lord.
Would my wife have to, obey orders and be nice to me?
We could make her a lady. You can also do that.
Yeah, let's not go too far. I would just, that would go over really well in the family. I like that. That's a really good idea.
Where is this land? Where are you getting this piece of land?
Scotland.
Of course.
Oh, in Scotland. Okay.
Yeah, it's actually pretty smart. It's an effort to save the Scottish woodlands. So the way they do it is they're selling off little plots and you become a lord of the Scottish woodlands.
Right.
And it protects the land.
I like it.
Smart.
Yeah. All right, I'll take one of those, please.
All right. Thanks. I was thinking about that for you. For Christmas.
Are we exchanging Christmas gifts this year? I should absolutely jump on something then because I haven't. This was the weekend where I started thinking, I got to put together lists for people and figure out what I'm doing. And I thought about you and I did seriously. I was thinking about the big hat. But you got to let me know. So if we are doing something, I got to cyber shop.
Don't buy anything for me. Buy something for the kids if you want.
Oh, you know what? That's true. You have twins.
Yeah. Buy something for the twins. They're not going to buy anything for you.
You really?
No.
For Uncle Howard? So big hat for the twins?
You know, funny shirts, that kind of stuff. That's always good. What else do they need? It is funny though.
You got twin best dad in the world shirts.
You know
to
what?
Wear?
That's not a bad idea.
All right.
We do have a couple of things for them, and you know, a package will arrive, and my wife will say, "Hide it, hide it."
Like,
come on.
Like what? They're gonna. Sorry, I didn't mean to spit up on the mic. That's really funny.
They're almost. They're not quite two yet.
Yeah.
Hide it. Make sure they don't see that until we've got a couple things that we've hidden. So.
Maybe they're going to have a little conversation when you guys aren't in the room and one turns to the other and says, I think I know where the packages are.
Yeah, we got to find the packages.
Let's go see what they got us.
Yeah.
You're still a little bit away from hide the stuff from the kids so they don't find out what they got before Christmas.
Yeah, probably put it at somebody else's houses.
There's always a secret hiding place they wouldn't know
about.
When
you were a kid, did you look and scour the house and find gifts?
No. I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't remember, it's so long ago, Jeremy, but you know, for Hanukkah, I want to say, I know there was at least one year, I don't know if this was a regular thing, the gifts were wrapped and in my room the night before, the day before the first night of Hanukkah. The stuff is there and in your room, which is kind of teasing you when you think about it.
Yeah.
I never opened it up. I never shook the box or anything, but sometimes it would be wrapped and kind of hanging out in the room there and you just had to wait a day before you could open it. That was... It took a little strength and fortitude, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, you're still okay with not having to worry about hiding them.
Okay.
All right, so we got Tage Thompson with another beautiful goal. And
the Sabres giving up 6 again?
Well, okay, that's going to be an issue. And we'll get to some, obviously, Bill stuff. Because I got to tell you what, I'm really, really excited about this stretch starting Thursday night. I am fired up.
Not nervous, but excited?
No. Maybe I'll be nervous game day. I'm not, which is really odd. You know me. I can stress out over just about anything.
Yeah, I thought you...
And I always I always want the easy way out. I'm going to tell you, with the division race and the conference race and Dolphins playing San Francisco, Casey's playing Cincinnati, the Bills start their division. I woke up this morning and I'm driving in going, this is so cool. Which is very opposite of how I normally approach things at this stage in my life. Like I said, I'm into... You know, the Bills having, say, a Minnesota lead in the division would have been nice. You know, I would say, hey, the Bills can clinch the division week 13. Now I got to tell you, let's see what they got. I'm really pumped for this game. Now, I think they're going to win. If they lose, would I be stunned? No, but I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win the football game. I think they're going to beat the Jets. To me, this is coming down to what they do against Miami in a couple of weeks. But I'm more fired up and excited than I thought I was going to be. Not nervous at all. Again, that might change on game day. There's only one thing I'm nervous about for this game. One thing. Someone's got to stop Matthew Judon.
He's top five in the league in pressure rate and pressures.
And he's got 12, 13 sacks. And we just saw Spencer Brown have a rough day.
And Deion Dawkins might not be
available. And he might be out. That's right. So I guess from what I read, Judon, all but one of his sacks have come from the left side. So he might see a lot, or Spencer Brown might see. And honestly, that's the only thing I'm nervous about. Not Mac Jones. Ramondre Stevenson is good. I had him on my fantasy team. They've got some good, not great wide receivers. And their defense, honestly, is better than I thought it was going to be. But that's, thinking about, oh my God, is Matthew Judon destroying the Bills? Because let's face it, the games they played against them towards the end of the season, Judon's play really tailed off. I think he had gotten hurt, maybe, or he was sick at the end of the season. He really wasn't the same guy for those last two games that the Bills played against him. He was a non-factor in both games. I don't think that's going to be the case Thursday night. That's the one guy that worries me about them.
Well, the Bills are dealing with two high-profile injuries to Von Miller and Deion Dawkins. But after that,
yeah,
they actually are pretty healthy.
I was glad to see the defensive ends coming back, and yeah. Edmonds, too. Edmonds, if Edmonds can play, that really helps the defense.
I don't see why he wouldn't. He's a full participant at practice.
Yep.
I mean, the number of times, the injury report that came out yesterday, the number of times you see the word full was inspiring.
Oh, I felt so much better. Right? Rousseau, full.
Edmonds.
Vanessa, full.
Allen, full, of course.
Yeah.
Cam Lewis, even, full. Mitch Morse, full. Jordan Phillips, Greg Rousseau, all full.
Thank goodness.
And a lot of the guys that didn't practice, most of them were illness,
right,
which that's been going around the room, so they'll get through that. And the Bills might be a team that looks largely healthy, just minus Dawkins and Miller.
And I think we're expecting more snaps. I don't know if it'll be a full game for Trey White. That'd be nice. But I'm sure he's going to play more than 15 snaps like he did against the Detroit Lions, which could be really important since two of those guys that are ill includes Dane Jackson. So, the Von Miller absence is huge. You know, hopefully it's not the worst case scenario and he's able to come back. But while that obviously affects the defense, the pass rush, if you can get a healthy Rousseau back and Epinesa back, that's great because your defensive ends were depleted. Your defensive tackles are healthy, which is really important for this game, especially trying to stop their running game. And Edmonds can firm up the defense in the middle of the pass defense in the middle of the field. Maybe he helps in the run defense against Stevenson because it doesn't sound like Damian Harris is playing in this game. So, yeah, I think the injury report gave me reasons to feel better about this matchup, too.
Joe, the site that you use that you can search stuff, the fancy stuff, like stats, has any team in the NFL this year won three consecutive games against teams over 500? Because that's what the Bills are looking to do in this three-game stretch. New England, the Jets, and the Dolphins.
Yeah, the coming three.
So has any team done that? And I'm sure there've been winning streaks. The Eagles have won three in a row. Has it ever happened with its 1-2-3, all three teams in a row are over 500 at the time?
Yeah, but also late in the season. This isn't like
it's not
weeks, 2, 3, and 4 where you go 1-0, 2-1, or whatever. You know,
there's probably some Elias Sports Bureau stat in here about that. It's not exactly completely uncharted territory, but if you think about it that way, if the Bills manage to go and rip off three straight wins,
yeah,
I think I was thinking about this yesterday. That kind of gauntlet, 1-2-3, to win all three against teams that are good.
Yeah.
Better than expected, especially since the Jets have made the quarterback change, they're going to be more respectable, even though they lost to the Jets with Zach Wilson. If they win those three, to me, that plants them back into, I have to feel good about them no matter what. No matter what right now, I'm not in a good place on them. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy to tell you that, but I'm not in a good place on the Bills by their own standard. And if they win these three, I don't think there's any case I could make to my own brain that isn't, bro, they just waxed those three teams.
That's right.
They get out of this 3-0, they're on track.
Well, they get out of this 3-0, we're back to where we were with this team. They're going to win the division. And, we'll see what happens with Kansas City. I know they have the Bengals next. I should probably check their schedule. I'm not sure who their other games are after Cincinnati. But if the Bills go 3-0 and the Chiefs lose a game, they're back in the driver's seat for the one seed.
Which could happen this week.
Right. lose to Cincinnati. They're supposed to get Ja'Marr Chase back, right? So I think if the Bills run this gauntlet, we will probably be talking about how the offense got through its funk, I would assume, and they were playing much better. They were back to what we know is or would be Buffalo Bills offensive football with Josh Allen and company. Again, they would have put themselves back in the driver's seat instead of chasing Miami in the division. We'd be talking about them. Yeah, here they go. They're getting on a roll second half of the season. And we would be talking again about home field advantage, which really we haven't discussed in a few weeks because it's been about what's wrong with the offense? Why are they turning the ball over? What's up with the red zone? When is the defense going to be healthy? Hey, you know what? Miami's good. They got the tiebreaker. Like, we've completely gotten away from the one seed because there's a more immediate issue, and that is trying to win the division and not be a wild card team. Get the division, get a home playoff game. So yeah, I would feel, you know, I would think we would feel exactly where we were, say, when they beat Kansas City earlier this season, right? We're all walking around going, the Bills are the cream of the crop. They are the team to beat in the AFC. They just won in Kansas City again in the regular season. They've got the inside track to the one seed, and everything kind of petered off after, you know, the Green Bay game when we got into the Jets and the Vikings. So, yes, I do agree with you. I think we'll feel where we were about this team. And, you know, this is, you know, I'm reading in New England, this is a measuring stick game for the Patriots, so it'd be nice to slap them down. I watched a good chunk of the Jets game. Mike White looked really good. For what it's worth, the Bears have been one of the worst defensive teams in football for the last month. And after Mike White destroyed Cincinnati, the Bills made him look bad last season. And so I still
four interceptions,
think,
right?
Yeah, I think he was pulled from the game, wasn't he? I don't even know if he finished that game. I still think, you know, if they beat New England, I fully anticipate them beating the Jets, which sets up the showdown with Miami. But starts Thursday night. You know, if they don't win Thursday night, I know you guys were, Joe, I think you tweeted out a whole bunch of different probabilities for the division and all the different things based on what happens over the next three games. If they don't win Thursday night and Miami beats San Francisco, now we're talking about a wild card race.
Mm-hmm. Those numbers I had yesterday were without Dolphins results in there. So
all right.
In part, it is the Bills are fine if they win two of the three,
right?
If you get the results that you need from Miami. You kind of need help if you want to keep it at a 50-50 shot to win the AFC East. It's funny, I have to go team by team to find who's won against teams with winning records. And this would be actually who has a winning record right now. The Dolphins are the only team
that have won three in a row against teams with a winning record.
Weeks 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
They beat the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Bills.
Yep.
But the Patriots would have been 0-0 at that time.
All right.
So otherwise, I think that the Bills would be the first team to do it when the team had a winning record.
And this is, I was just refreshing my memory on remaining schedules. This is the beginning of the critical stretch of the schedule for Miami, their toughest stretch of the schedule. Three straight road games. Niners, Chargers, Bills. So, like to see Miami lose a couple in there. You know, the Bills need to beat them, and if one of the other West Coast teams could beat them, this is the big stretch for Miami. Kansas City, after Cincinnati, they go to Denver and Houston.
Yeah, the one seed is getting further and further away, it seems. Right. I mean, if they beat the Bengals, it's going to feel like that's about dead. They lost to the Colts. So,
which is amazing.
It's still incredible.
It is last year's Bills-Jaguars game. That's the league's Bills-Jaguars game. This year is the Chiefs finding a way to lose to the Colts.
Yeah.
I mean, we've watched some depressing football. And if Joe and I talked about it yesterday. If you watched the Rams yesterday, or on Sunday, depressing. The Colts. Oh, my goodness. Matt Ryan and watching that offense try to do anything is depressing.
I tried to watch. I mean, I didn't expect the Rams to give Kansas City a game, obviously. And I didn't think Houston was going to be able to give Miami a game, and they didn't. I tried watching that. It's just hard to watch the Rams offensively. And you know, the defense would have had to play out of its mind because you got to shut down Mahomes and then you got to score. But my goodness, Bryce Perkins and no Cam Akers, no Daryl Henderson, no Matthew Stafford, no Cooper Kupp. It was really hard to watch that football game because I didn't think the Rams had any kind of chance to do anything offensively to hang with Kansas City in that game. So, yeah, I need Cincinnati to come up big. It'd be nice if the Bengals could beat the Chiefs, and if the Bills can beat New England Thursday, we could have another mostly stress-free Sunday and just relax and watch the other games. So that's you know, get a win on Thursday, and Now you've got that extra time to rest up for the Jets. This is what we want, right? We want big games, meaningful games, and this team's played a whole bunch of big games the last 3 years. I'm not worried about them handling the pressure, the prime time, all this other stuff. They've gone through a lot of really important games in the last couple seasons, so I'm not worried about that at all Thursday night. I think they're going to be fine. I think Josh is going to rise to the occasion, and I think the Bills will beat New England, but I don't think it's going to be like a no-punt game or a blowout. I think it's going to be a really tough game Thursday night.
How many punts would you accept? 3.
I was going to say, there's usually what? Like, on the average, you probably get 10 or 11 possessions, so 3 max.
Okay. I like 3 as a number.
And like a clean football game, too. You know,
no turnovers?
Yeah, because I have this, you know, their secondary's playing better than I thought, but I'm really worried about their pass rush. And even if they don't get sacks, what kind of pressure they put on Josh Allen, how, you know, will he have a clean pocket enough of the night? Or they've got, I think New England's got like 37 sacks this season. They're second in the league in sacks, and it's not just Judon, it's other guys as well. So I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I don't think this is going to be a, you know, hey, there's Bill Belichick on the sideline throwing a phone down in anger or a tablet. I think this is going to be a really tough game Thursday night, but I think the Bills will be able to win the football game.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I don't want to think about alternative because then you go, oh, wow. I'm sorry, I'm watching a highlight. Eichel got hit with a puck in the face last night. The alternative is just not good because now we're worried about the division. And we don't want New England Patriots fans to be, you know, New England Patriots fans.
Well, if the Bills lose to New England, they'll be 0-3 in the division.
Yeah.
And, again, they still have 3 left. And they'll have the opportunity. By the way, all 3 have been on the road.
Yep.
Not a single home division game.
Right.
They'll have the opportunity to get revenge on all those games. But any sort of conversation about the Bills being the big bad team in the division, you don't get to do that at 0-3.
No.
Right?
And that's another thing, too. If you could win Thursday night, at least you know the Jets, the Dolphins, those next 2 in the critical 3-game stretch, they're home.
Yep.
And if it does mean anything, which it looks like it will at this point, that last game against New England is here, which is nice, too. I still don't like that schedule. I have no idea why anybody has to play their first half of their division games. The first 3 of the 6 division games on the road is ridiculous to me. And not having a home division game until December 11th, I'm going to use the term unconscionable. That's just ridiculous.
I'm with you.
I'm not here to tell you conspiracy theory in the league doesn't want the Bills to win, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, it's just you got to look at that and go, that's just not fair.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. It's just trying to manufacture these divisional rivalries as late as possible.
Yeah.
It happens to, a couple of years ago, what, the Browns and Ravens played? For the Browns, it was 2 consecutive games against the Ravens?
Oh, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Some of the NFC East matchups, there's still teams that haven't even played each other in that division.
It is not good.
Yeah.
But it is what they are addicted to for whatever reason.
And look, in the both East divisions, they've got great races going on, so they probably love the idea of having all these division games in the last month plus. Me, personally, no, I don't like it. I'd like it a little more spread out, and it would have been nice to have an AFC East game at home before December 11th.
You taking a nap at 2 p.m. or you got big plans for Team USA?
No, I'll get my nap in before. I usually get my nap in and I'm good to go by 2. If not, I'll record the game and that, you know, if I wake up a little later, I'll just get caught up.
Big day for Team USA, right?
Yeah.
Get the job done.
I would say the nerves you have about the Bills, I have about Team USA right now.
Yeah, you're a little bit edgy.
It's different players, different team, different coach, but historically they lose the game that they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
Where they need to win it.
Big moment here for the program. Like, go ahead and prove that it was worth it. All this missing 4 years ago was obviously such a horrible result. It was 4 years to get back there to prove you belong and don't lose to Iran. And just, you know, they're even money to win, which is good.
They're kind of like the Sabres in that they're young and they're not, you know, expectations are not upon them yet. It's just get out of the group and most people would be happy. But they're, I think, the second youngest team at the World Cup. It's all new players. It's all kids. And it's, okay, this is where you take a step. And then the World Cup is here in the United States in 2026. And instead of you got 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds running around, in 4 years, all these kids now are going to be 25, 26, 27. And if you take a, it's almost like you take a step at this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of the group stage, and you get to the knockout round, and then it's, okay, now they're going to be fully formed in 4 years, and they're going to be ready to go and actually win the most they've ever won by the time the World Cup is here.
So it's a talented young hockey team, gets into the playoffs, loses in the first round, and people say that was good experience for them.
Yeah. So it's the exact, so some version of they'll blow a lead to the Tampa Bay Lightning 6-5 is going to be today against Iran.
Boy, you know what game that reminded me of was the New Year's Eve game against Tampa where they're up 4-1 late and still find a way to lose.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, we will discuss when we get back. Happy Tuesday, 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Gergensen's down to the corner. Thompson trying to get the right position on that one to make a play on it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thompson with the giveaway. Here's a chance in front. Oh, what a goal by Tage Thompson. TNT blows it up. Down low in the Tampa zone, and the Sabres are on the board.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. I'm going to make that one of the Sabres moments of the game from last night. Moments of the game brought to you by First Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth, and I'll throw in final stats, because we want to talk about Tage Thompson. So final stats of the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Sabres actually outshot Tampa 37-25. Special teams was not good for Buffalo. Tampa got three goals on the power play, 3 for 4. Sabres went 0 for 1. It wasn't even a full power play. They took a too many men on the ice penalty during it. UPL, not so much. 19 saves on 25 shots. Tage Thompson got his 14th goal of the season, so he has 14 goals, 28 points in 22 games this season, and it was a beautiful goal that he scored last night. By the way, that's final stats of the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile.
Insane goal he scored last night.
His reach, his ability to, well, use his size, of course, to hold people off. It's his reach, obviously, to keep the puck away from defenders, or in this case, the goalie last night. And his stick handling in tight has become a strength for him as well. He is really, he maneuvers so well in tight spaces.
Yeah, that goal is not even just stick handling. He finishes off with, of course, incredible stick handling. How about the agility?
Yeah.
The to spin? Take it off his backhand, yeah, to spin. Yeah. It is nuts.
That's right.
The skating, the hands. He only scores sick goals.
Yeah.
They're all impressive, whether they're laser beams or they're wired for the top shelf or he is stick handling around seven guys. He only scores awesome goals.
Yeah.
And it's wild. One of the more fun conversations about Thompson, I think I've seen a lot of people have this, is who else do you compare this career arc to? Is anybody, everybody's kind of, that's had this conversation, has a name in their head. Josh Allen gets the obvious comparison because his blossoming from a really raw player to one of the best quarterbacks in football is another great story. But I don't think that's a great comparison. Thompson goes from like the bottom of the barrel. Last night, Evolving Wild, one of the fancy websites about hockey stats, tweeted that when the Sabres protected Tage Thompson in the expansion draft, they could not figure out why. Because on a scale of 0 to 100, on like how wins above replacement, how he was a 1. He was a 1.
It's kind of low.
I feel like a second round pick that's not even picked yet is like a 12.
Yeah.
He was a 1.
Right. See, that's why I think the story is, this is not like a player, a prospect or a player who had high expectations wasn't performing. Like, you might think Dahlin came around slow.
He was a first round pick.
Right. There was a stretch there that we thought, oh my God, the kid looks lost. But I think we were pretty sure it was the coaching staff to blame and not the player. Like for me, Thompson, I was confident. Dahlin's still getting 40 points a season.
With Dahlin, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Thompson, you look at him and go, I don't know why they picked this kid up. He's got nothing. He's just not going to make it. Like zero expectations. If you told me he'd have last season in the discussion we're having now, I'd say you're crazy. And oh, by the way, he's going to do it at center. I would have looked at you and said, you're nuts. He was one of the guys that you looked at and thought, well, that trade didn't work out.
Yep.
That turns out to be, one of the, not the top prospect, one of the better ones from St. Louis. Anyway, to me, it's not like a guy like Dahlin. It's got to be somebody, I won't take credit for it, but somebody I think brought this up a few weeks ago when we were talking about Tage Thompson. They tweeted in Brian Campbell. Now, Campbell was
second round pick?
No, he's sixth round,
fifth,
right?
Sixth?
Yeah,
okay.
Sixth,
okay.
I think. But he had a good, he came in off a good junior career, right? Like I got to look up his background before he got here.
He did something. He must, juniors are AHL.
But he came here. He came here and we thought, okay, this kid's going to be a good defenseman, offensive defenseman. He did nothing. And he got in Lindy's doghouse, and I thought, oh my God, he's never going to return to anything.
Look at his career, he's with the Sabres for parts of 5 seasons
before the
lockout. Ugh. And even that fifth season right before the lockout, he's still a healthy scratch for like 30 games.
And isn't Campbell a bit of Campbell's story? We could talk about like how his game changed. The actual game changed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was a little bit ahead of his time.
Yes.
Those kind of defensemen, a guy like Brian Campbell now is a big deal, mm-hmm. coveted all the time, whereas maybe right when he jumped in, it wasn't quite that way. Maybe you wanted one guy like that, but he had to be defensively responsible. Like, you didn't have the Eric Karlsson winning the Norris Trophy mm-hmm. kind of situation, at least not every year.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's an interesting discussion. I'm spinning through my head Bills players, but I don't have one. It's the The wheel is spinning in the casino, and you're waiting for it to stop, and the numbers or the logos to come up, and it's just spinning, and I don't have someone in my head right now. It's not stopping.
Campbell's a better starting point, because the starting point I think you want is, this guy was hardly even in the lineup, right. If not at all.
Doesn't look like he belongs in the league.
Right. You wrote this guy off and said, well, next, and because I wrote Thompson off. And to me, anytime when you would hear Don Granato and Kevin Adams talk the kid up, I'd be like, yeah, of course, you're going to do that. Well, you're not going to come out and say, listen, guys, this kid's a bust. It was a bad trade. Well, you're going to keep saying, we love his skill. We love this. We love that. Turns out, Granato knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. And the Allen comparison isn't perfect because Allen is never like, he doesn't even belong in the league.
Nope.
Like, that was said maybe during his draft
process. By year two, he was getting better. You could see quickly this guy was trending up.
But what is similar is Allen had the raw skill set, and it's, can you believe he's getting this good? And that is where Thompson might be similar, because Thompson's got his 6'7", and the stick handling, and just now it's becoming, can you believe he's getting this good the same way it was happening with Allen?
I've got a name for a comparison, but it doesn't work yet. It might work this time next year. This guy has to continue doing what he's doing right now and maybe take a couple more steps, but Geno Smith.
Yes,
who's more written off than Geno Smith?
Yeah, I never would have thought.
Punched by a teammate.
Yeah,
disappeared for 8 years.
Gone for 8 years, and then actually, you know what? He might be good if they sign him to a $130 million contract, wow. And then he is third in the MVP next year. I feel like that's the same track. Like, Geno Smith is not all the way there, but he's halfway
right
on the Thompson track of going from nobody wants to see you on the team to. Actually, you know what? You might have something here.
Can you think of a Bills player that we would have written off, and then maybe in year three or four, the final year of a contract, whatever, all of a sudden, boom, they blossom.
What do you think of Bills players we wrote off?
And I wish I had something. I don't. Maybe something will come to me on the break. I'm going through by positions.
How about players the Bills wrote off? Fred Jackson, 5 times.
Yeah,
he was pretty good. I'm trying to think who. Yeah, I don't know.
The first name that came to mind for me was Aaron Maben, but he didn't really do that.
He never did.
He had one decent year with the Jets.
You know, there are guys that stick around longer than you think. I think Shaq Lawson's a good name for this. Like, Shaq Lawson's a high pick that doesn't pan out, but then he finds a role.
Yeah.
And he's good at it, but that's definitely not the same.
Was Spiller this a little bit?
I thought about him, but I don't know that he had enough extended success,
right? Because the first year or two, it was,
why did you draft the kid?
And the first year, he's a returner, and then he has that blow-up year, right? Like, is that year three or four that it's just, holy cow, why isn't he getting the football?
I got a text from a buddy about Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, but...
But wasn't Edmonds always
pretty good? I think he was never bad.
He at least always had fans.
Right. And I never thought, guys, that, oh my God, Edmonds, what a terrible waste of a draft pick. We just always felt there was more to get from him.
Yeah.
I think this has got to be someone that you thought, never getting anything out of this player. Just move on,
you know,
cut your losses.
Thompson is a little bit like if Grigorenko had become great. Mm. You watch and think, like, this is not happening. This is just not going to do it.
Right.
I'm trying to think, guys we have written off. We've written off hundreds of guys. And how many guys come back from that? Not just us,
but
sports fans writing them off. Justin Fields might be this. Fields might have been written off by Bears fans 2 months ago
as
one of the worst quarterbacks to ever play. And the numbers backed that up from a passing standpoint. Then he started adding in the running element, and all of a sudden it's, actually, you know what? He might have something here.
Yeah.
I brought this guy up for a different reason yesterday, but this is what Alex Smith was. He doesn't have he never became a superstar like Thompson might be tracking towards, but that was bust. Like, he was a first overall pick. He was a bust. He even, I think, got benched for a whole season before he returned as San Francisco's starter and then carved out, like, a 15-year starting career in the NFL.
Right. And maybe would have played longer if it wasn't for the devastating injury, even though he got back from it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The one other that I'll mention that's an NBA comparison, and it's not perfect, but one that for me was just mind-blowing, was Nikola Jokic becoming what he became. He's back-to-back MVP in the NBA. That was similar to Thompson, just, come on, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, he's this good. And again, that's more the ceiling than the starting point. But we also don't really know, I guess, how high the ceiling is for Thompson right now.
And one thing that will help the league, the rest of the hockey world, take note of Thompson, it'd be one thing if he's just quietly scoring goals. Like, I'll give an example here. Like, Jason Robertson of the Stars, right? Scored 40 last year
and
is really good. I don't see him on the highlights every single night. And that doesn't mean that he's not good. That just means I'm seeing Tage Thompson highlight real goals every night.
Yeah.
And that is how you get on the radar of a Dallas Stars fan and on the radar of a Blue Jackets fan and around the entire league where, man, another one for this guy? All he does is score highlight real goals. Those are the goals that make it on SportsCenter. Those are the goals that make it on, you know, NHL Tonight. Every night he scores, I see another national hockey writer saying something to the effect of, okay, this guy's legitimately going to be one of the best players in the league now. It's crazy.
Someone tweeted in Dominic Hasek.
Okay. Right?
Is that as extreme as that might get?
He was traded for parts?
Okay, I just wanted to double check this because, you know, my memory's failing. I got two different people tweeted in the same name for a Bills player. This is some of it was before you got here, Jeremy. By the time you got here, he was really good. Eric Moultz. It's not a bad idea because Moles was a first-round pick. Now he comes in, right? Andre's still here. I'm trying to remember the receiving core. Bill Brooks was here. But Moles isn't bad. The first 2 years, not great numbers. And, yeah, we were probably having the discussion of, well, that pick didn't turn out. And then in year three, he had a 1,000-yard season. And then he basically had what? He alternated 1,000-yard seasons, 98, 2000, 2002. Okay, that's a good one. I think that's right because he didn't do enough in the first 2 years for us to think, wow, this is going to turn out to be a hell of a receiver. And then he becomes one of the best receivers in Bills franchise history. That's a good one. Very good. I'll take it.
Jake writes in.
I don't mean I'll take credit.
I'm sorry. Anthony writes in two Sabres names, Pominville and Briere. Both guys that were waived.
Yeah.
And to be waived and go unclaimed is, you know, it's a pretty strong case for it. Tyson Jost is the next one, hopefully, that does this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? High pick, first rounder, waived, claimed.
Yeah.
If he scores 40 goals next year, then he's the new Tage Thompson.
803-0550 to join us this morning.
He did score a nice goal.
That was a nice goal.
It was a nice goal.
And he looks good with that line, you know, and they had three lines going last night, which was a nice
they have
the Cousins-Quinn-Paterka line. It's exciting.
The Cousins Quinn
Paterka. I'm going to whisper it, so I don't want to.
Howard, the Cousins Quinn Paterka line is one of the best lines in the NHL.
Beautiful.
At creating chances and getting the share of chances. It's the best line the Sabres have.
Yeah.
And
Quinn is now finishing chances. Cousins looks good. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
You want a Sabres stat of the day?
Sure.
It's a fancy stat of the day. It's a little complicated, but you know how it works with these fancy stats. I just think that they're, you know, worth mentioning, even though sometimes they're complicated. So, running the numbers last night, Evolving Wild, who I mentioned. They chart expected goals for players, you know, expected goals against. Owen Power last night had the single best game in the NHL for even strength expected goals for since 2007.
I know I don't totally understand these stats, but that sounds really significant.
Basically, yeah, the guy that runs the website said, I'm in disbelief. This is 650,000 player games, and Owen Power just had the best game since 2007.
I suppose I'm supposed to say something. I'm staring
Owen
at
Power,
speechless.
By the way, not on the Tage Thompson track.
No, he's good
Owen
now.
Owen Power showed up in his third game, and everyone's like, oh, this guy can play.
He's good now.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, she almost won the game in overtime last night. anyway, 803-0550. Hey, don't miss Foreigner, the historic farewell tour at Darien Lake Amphitheater, July 28th, with special guest Loverboy. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, and we'll have tickets to give away later in the show.
Hold on, quick clarification. Joe points out, it's because of overtime a little bit that helped boost his expected goals for. So that's maybe why it was the best game since 2007. But either way, nice game. Nice game, Owen.
And Big Will Fries is on top of it for Indianapolis. They go back to the spot of the fumble as we're inside 2 minutes, and it was Highsmith who knocked it out.
Well, there's a running clock, too. I mean, the Colts are burning up a lot of time right now with all their timeouts, and yet Ryan is letting it roll.
They basically ran the game out on themselves. And
It's okay. Yeah.
They didn't make the fourth down play, and they needed a fourth down.
Yeah.
So they didn't make it. But if they had made it, they would have been really low on time needing a touchdown.
So I didn't stay up for the end of this thing. So they snapped the ball on first down with like a minute and a half or so left in the game, and it was a sack. And they didn't. And they had all three timeouts left.
And they let
didn't
it
call
run.
Timeout. Second down, Ryan ran for like 14 yards. They still didn't call timeout.
Yep.
Third, so they snapped the ball again with like 59 seconds left. Third down play, whatever it was.
They run and get stuffed.
Then they call their first timeout after the third down play, and there's like 30 seconds left, and they don't get the fourth down play. So, yeah, why not after the sack? You just got sacked. You lost yardage on first down. It's second and 19 or whatever the hell it would have been. And you got all three timeouts.
Saturday's answer to that was he wasn't worried about the time, and as it works out, we didn't make a play on fourth down. Never mind that they ran a minute and a half out on themselves.
Right.
Had they picked up the fourth down, they would have had 30 seconds instead of...
You still got a score, right?
Yeah.
You're but still
instead
down
of,
seven.
Instead
whatever,
of all the time you need,
yeah.
I guess, what are you, too worried about giving the ball back to Trubisky?
Pickett.
Kenny Pickett and the Steelers?
Yeah. Well, but also, too, you just gave up a sack. Settle your team down. Let him... Okay, you're not scrambling to the line and, you know, you're running Matt Ryan on the second play. Maybe you could have come up with a different play. You would have had time to... gather your thoughts and do something better on second and humongous, which maybe helps the third down play, fourth down play. Yeah, I just, especially at the end of the game, well, whatever, even in the first half, you don't carry timeouts. If the game goes overtime, you don't get credited for extra timeouts, right? So stop the clock and let your team figure things out and settle down. Yeah, that was, I mean, I would have been yelling at the screen if I was a Colts fan. There's no point to letting it run.
I allowed myself a minute or two last night to think about the Bills if they had taken George Pickens. That would have looked good.
Why would you do that to yourself, though? That's tough.
That would look good. He didn't make it to them in the second round. They would have had to make him a first-round pick or trade up.
The Chiefs did trade up.
803-0550 to join us. The critical stretch of the season starts Thursday, the three straight division games. How are you feeling about the Bills' chances going into game one of the three against New England on Thursday night? Anything else on your mind, too? You can always join us. Phone lines are open. And don't forget, if you ever missed anything on this station, we have on-demand audio available for you. Interviews, segments, hours, complete shows, anything. When it comes to audio and you want to check it out, on-demand audio available on, of course, WGR550.com and WGR on the Odyssey app. On-demand audio brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.